to John 14 this morning, please. John chapter 14. And speak about the reality of a place called heaven. John chapter 14, and begin reading in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in case you haven't noticed, the world's a mess. Our nation is polarized, possibly as much as it has ever been in its history. Certainly to a very severe degree. There's constant bickering, division, and even outright hate being expressed by people that disagree with each other. The president and those who support him have been constantly attacked for almost 2 years now. And it's not getting any better. You got senseless murders and mass killings taking place at an alarming rate. This world's a mess. And it's not just in this country. I mean, unrest is throughout the entire globe. There was a song, I didn't think much of it then, I still don't think much of it, but a song in the late 60s that I think kind of touches on the thought here. This woman singing about, as a little child, her house caught on fire, and her dad is holding her in his arms while they're watching everything that they possess burn away. And after the fire, she says, is that all there is to a fire? And then the chorus goes, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's just keep dancing. Break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. The second verse talks about going to a fair, a circus, when she's about 12 years old and seeing all the things there, the tightrope walker and the elephants and everything. And there again, you know, is that all there is to a circus? And then thirdly, she talks about falling in love, and this guy was the man of her dreams, and they did all these wonderful things together, and suddenly he just went away. He was gone. And she thought she was going to die, but she didn't. Is that all there is? And then the fourth verse goes like this, and I'll read this to you. I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh, no, not me. I'm in no hurry for that final disappointment. Because I know just as well as I'm standing here talking to you that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? No. It's not.
Amen.
And sadly, for some, that's going to be the best that it is. From there on, it's downhill. But you know, for us, it's definitely not all there is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This chapter is about the resurrection. The entire thing is talking about various aspects of the resurrection. He says in verse 19 this, of 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that woman in that song summed that up, because this is where all her hope was. And sadly to say, for too many people, this is all where all their hope is. And as the Bible says, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. You realize how many themes and how many plots are found in the Bible? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And it won't be a disappointment. It may be a tragedy, but it may be just the opposite. It may be the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. There's much more than this life to be had. There's much more to look forward to than just the excitement of this life. And certainly there's excitement to be had here in this world. You know, the Bible says enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. There's no denying that sin can be pleasant. It's just the consequences that follow are not so pleasant. I'm glad this world's not my home.
Yes. Amen.
I'm so glad this is not all that there is. So I want to preach to you this morning about heaven. First, I want you to see this. Heaven is a real place. You know, the folks say, ah, you Christians, all you got is that pie in the sky, by and by. Well, I like pie. That's not a problem, but you know what? Heaven's much more than just pie in the sky, by and by. Heaven is a real place. It's factual. Here, look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 12. In the passage we started with, John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, either Jesus Christ is a liar, or there's something he's preparing for us. John chapter 3, it says this in verse 12. John 3 and verse 12. If ye have, I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He says, look, that's where I came from. I've been there. And I'm now here to tell you about it. And I'm going back to there. And if you'll follow me, the way, the truth, and the life, coming to the Father, then you'll go to be with me at that time. It's a real place. Look at John chapter 6, verse 31. John 6 and verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. God has distributed things from heaven to his people here on this earth. Now, one of the things was that manna in the wilderness. Every morning, 6 days a week, they would go out as they're wandering in the wilderness and needing sustenance. And there it was for them to gather. All that they could get for that entire day. There was no limit on how much they could take, except that they were only to take what they could consume. But it was all there. And then on seventh day, or that sixth day, because they weren't supposed to do it on the seventh day, they were to rest on the Sabbath, Saturday, they got a double portion. And that second portion would survive that seventh day. But that came from heaven to these people. Look at verse 38. John 6, 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ came from heaven. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. He spent 40 days with the disciples, talking with them and meeting them and so forth after he rose from the grave. And we come to verse 9 of Acts chapter 1. It says, and when he has spoken these things, these final words that he spoke to them while here on this earth, while they beheld, he was taken up, And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." There he was, alive before them, after Thomas had thrust his hand into his side where the sword had pierced it, and stuck his fingers into his hands where the nail had pierced them. And he'd been with them 40 days, eating with them and so forth, and they watched him ascending up into heaven. A real place. The place he ascended to. You know, there's two other people that went to heaven straight from the earth. Enoch and Elijah. And there's some that have come back down. But look at this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there is some question about that, this passage here. And Paul even addresses some uncertainties about exactly what has taken place. But he says this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. "It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He's going to tell you about some things. Visions and revelations. Paul certainly had seen a number of them. And I believe as we go through this, Paul is talking about himself. He uses a third person, but he is the one who experienced what he's about to describe here. Verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." So this happened to Paul 14 years previous. "Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." So Paul says, look, it's unclear to me exactly what took place. I don't know if I physically was transported to heaven and experienced what he's going to talk about here, or if it was just a vision. But he says, "I know what I saw was real." Verse 3, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." He said, "I saw it. I was there. And whether with just in my mind's eye or with my physical eyes, it was real." He experienced that. And you realize that ruined him for this world? When he saw, as he says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." He says, "Man, you see, you can't, I can't explain it to you." In fact, he was even forbidden to speak of some things about that, which puts into question this whole idea of these others with these out-of-body experiences. These life after death experiences, coming back to talk about it. Because he says it's unlawful for a man to utter those things. But he says, "I saw it." And you can't believe what God has prepared for us. It's a real place. It's as real as this room that we're in right now. Heaven's real. Secondly, I want you to see this. Heaven is a glorious place. There was a little girl visiting her grandparents living out in the country, and she stood up just in wonder looking at the night sky. You know, people that have lived in a city all their lives have no concept of what the night sky is like out in the country. And just the beauty of the stars sparkling and all the God's creation. She's looking at that, and she says, "If it's so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side?" Amen. Think about that. We're on the wrong side of heaven right now. Amen. But that's not all there is. There's more. God's got so much more for us. And just wait till we get on that right side. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. But Jesus said in John 14, I'm preparing a place for you. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm going to come and take you to that place. Look at Revelation chapter 4. It gives us just a glimpse of the glories of heaven. Revelation chapter 4. John is writing here. Of course, John received the revelation that unfolds in this book. And he says in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He's seeing this vision as he's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos after being boiled in oil. And God showed him these things. And he sees this door open and says, the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. You know what that is? That's the rapture. Revelation 2 and 3 is about the seven churches. Do you realize the church is not mentioned again until Revelation chapter 19 when the Lord comes back? That's a rapture. The trumpet, a voice talking, come up hither, as the door was opened in heaven. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. These things take place after the rapture. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The first thing that gets his attention is this one sitting on the throne as he comes to heaven. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. This one seated upon the throne, this rainbow around him. And these 24 elders in white around them with crowns of gold upon their heads. His attention is captivated by the sight. Heaven's going to be a glorious place.
Amen.
And we often, and I've done it too, you know, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God that, this or that, or I'm going to find out about this, or I'm going to want to see this scene replayed. But I just wonder if the sight of the one on the throne is going to wipe all that stuff away. The glory of heaven, the presence of God, which is going to be there. It's filled with his presence. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In this prayer, the disciples' prayer, that was the thing that he said to pray, that God's will be done here as it is done up there. John chapter 12, verse 26. John chapter 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it and said, it is thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. His presence. That where his servant is, he may be also. Look at Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The presence of God. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Wizard of Oz. And as I mentioned, Hollywood stole their plots from the Bible. You think about when Dorothy and her trio of companions first enter into that, I don't know what you even call that thing there, the throne room, I guess it was. You remember what they saw? The smoke and the fire and the thunder. That's all how heaven is described. They stole that from God, that idea. But you think about that, and you think about, you know, and probably as a kid you thought, man, wouldn't it be wonderful to go into that place, into that room and see that? You know, the difference is there's no puppet behind the curtain. It's real in heaven. And that doesn't hold a candle to what heaven is going to be like. But of all the things about it, it's the presence of God. And I think that we're going to finally realize what it's like to be in, physically in the presence of God. I mean, we get glimpses once in a while. When you're sitting in a church service and the Spirit of God just takes something the preacher says or some passage from the Word of God and just pierces your heart with that thing. And you're like, man, that was God speaking to me. Or you get down on your knees and you're praying and it's just like the Holy Ghost just kind of settles on your shoulders and all around you. We get those little glimpses or little inklings of what it's like to be in the presence of God. And we are literally in the presence of God, but we don't always sense it like that. But what it's going to be like when we actually are physically brought up to be with him. Amen. For all of eternity. Presence of God. My. I can't do justice to it. But there's not only the presence of God there. There's the holiness of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy 26. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 26:15. Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people Israel in the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And chapter 63 of Isaiah, verse 15. I'm not sure if there's significance to it or not, but all these verses of these three chapters we've looked at are all verse 15. Isaiah 63, 15, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? The holy place. God's holy. And that holiness of God occupies that place. And it's so much so that God says, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. Because we'll not all sleep, but we all will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we're going to be changed. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. Amen. This mortal will put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the saying, oh death, her death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be made holy like him. Amen. There's never going to be another sin that I'm going to commit. I'm never going to disappoint him or shame him or his name. I'm going to be made perfectly holy. Amen. Heaven is a place filled with the glory of his holiness. A place of rest. Where there be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sighing, no more death, no more suffering. And God is going to wipe away all the tears. A radio evangelist announced his topic for the next week, which would be heaven. That week he received a letter from an old gentleman who was very ill. And the letter read in part, next Sunday you're going to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because for 55 years, I've had a clear title to a bit of property over there. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money and without price. The donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. For more than half a century, I've been sending material out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me. A home that will never need to be repaired. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for it rests upon the rock of ages. Fire can't destroy it. Floods can't wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed on its doors. For no evil person will ever enter that land where my dwelling stands. Amen. Now almost completed and ready for me to enter and abide in peace eternally without fear of being evicted. Amen. There's a valley of deep shadow between where I live now and that which I shall journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in the city of God without passing through that dark valley of shadows. But I'm not afraid. Because the best friend that I've ever had went through that same valley alone a long, long time ago and drove away all the gloom. He has stuck by me through thick and thin since we first met and became acquainted. And I hold his promise in printed form, never to forsake nor to leave me. He will be with me as I walk through that valley. And I shall not lose my way, for he will go with me. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next week. But I have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey. No return coupon, and no permit for baggage. Yes, I'm ready to go, and may not be here while you're talking next Sunday, but I will meet you there someday. Amen. It's not all there is. What a glorious place. to be with our Savior, the one who loved us and died for us. But my last point is this. Heaven is an intended place. You see, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not create hell with the intent of putting man there. And he's done everything that he possibly can, justly, to keep us from going there. When God created man, the Bible tells us that he prepared a paradise for him. It says he made man, he planted a garden eastward and placed man in there to dress and to keep it. Paradise is God's purpose, God's plan, God's will for mankind. And though through the fall, Adam and Eve lost it and spoiled it for the rest of us, although we've contributed our part of spoiling it for us as well, he's now preparing another place. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It says in John 14. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Hebrews 10:34. You had compassion to me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. That gentleman in his letter made reference to that. The materials that he was sending on ahead for the great architect to put together into that mansion to be prepared for him. A better and an enduring substance. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know why some Christians don't look as much forward to heaven as others? They don't have as much there. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. An enduring substance. We accumulate things on this earth, but someday it's all going to be gone. You're going to leave it all behind. And then whose shall it be? And only what you've laid up in store will you have for eternity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For if we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, We're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. But he talked about that new body, that new tabernacle. But then he also talked about being clothed. So this mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. I'm going to receive a new and a glorified body. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, for that process to take place. But then he says, I desire to be clothed, that I not be found naked. You see, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Start at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's my salvation. It's based upon Jesus Christ and him alone. There's nothing I can add to it. There's no way I can take away from it. I'm saved because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That settles it. If thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's what God says about it. Amen. If thou confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the foundation. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So the salvation is fixed in Jesus Christ. The foundation's laid. But now as a child of God, I'm putting something on that. And I'm either using gold, silver, and precious stones to build upon that, or wood, hay, and stubble. The foundation won't be destroyed. The rock of ages. That solid rock. And even though the winds come and the rains come and the winds blow, nothing's going to affect. It might wipe away the building, but the foundation remains. So read on here. So you two types of material: the gold, silver, precious stone, the wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. See, here's the dividing line. My salvation's fixed in Jesus Christ, but my eternal reward is based upon what I'm building upon that foundation. There's a consequence for not living for Jesus Christ. There's a reward for living for Jesus Christ. What I'm building on that foundation is going to determine whether I'm living for him, whether I have lived for him or not. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, verse 13 again, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. As I enter into that throne room and stand in the very presence of that holy God, he's going to try my works and my motives. See, sometimes you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. That's going to be a factor as God tries that. Whether it's wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. God's going to try that work. The fire is going to reveal what it is. The wood, hay, stubble. And nothing but the foundation's left. The gold, silver, precious stones also tried by the fire. And purified, and maybe reduced, but still enduring. Amen. Purified. Verse 14, if a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. just the foundation, desiring that I be clothed upon and not be found naked, because I didn't even lay up any clothes for eternity. He says, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What will you have for eternity? My citizenship, my eternal body, my treasure, my rest. That's what God intends for us. He's made it available for us to enjoy those things for all of eternity. But the choice comes down to me. Whether I choose to dwell with Him eternally in heaven or reject Him and go to hell. Not what God intended, but through my choice, what I get. Whether throughout eternity I enjoy being fully clothed and rewards and crowns along with that, or I'm just found naked. I'm there just so as by fire. What we're doing now determines how great heaven will be. Look, being there naked is going to be better than going to hell.
Amen.
But there's so much more God desires to give to us. But the only way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not by me, plus you keeping it, you working, you're doing this, that, and the other thing. Just by Him. The salvation is through Him alone. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, as we pray this morning, first, I pray, God, Your Spirit would take Your word this morning, in spite of my failings and shortcomings, to speak to the hearts, if there's any here that do not know You as Savior, God, that You would speak to that heart so that they not miss heaven. For whatever little or much that they might be able to lay up in store, that they not miss an eternity with You. God, speak to hearts. If there's one here that's not saved, may they understand that and come and receive You as their Lord and Savior. God is Your people. Lord, we so oftentimes fail You. Help us, God, to strive to do what's right and pleasing in Your sight each and every day. God, challenge Your people that might have been slipping a little bit, drifting. God, may they be stirred by Your Spirit to strive more faithfully to please and to honor You, to deny themselves and lay up some treasures in heaven. Oh God, I pray You'll work this day. Pray that You've been pleased with what I've prepared, and it can be used to touch the hearts of Your people here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.